Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. How the heck are you this morning? I start in my day like I start most of my days. I wake up, have to get up, go to pee, come back into my room, get dressed, make my bed. I take Sadie for a little walk around the block so she can do her business. I usually, after that, take a morning walk and then do a little Pilates, but today I did not do that because I knew I had to record the podcast. And I also have a workshop at 10 a.m. for my manifestation course. So I knew that I had to get my podcast recorded before then. And then I knew that I really wanted to watch the first part of the reunion of Summer House, which aired last night. And so I had myself a little double espresso while I watched part one of the reunion. Couple of things from the reunion. They touched a bit on Paige and Craig's breakup. For those who don't know, Paige DeSorbo and Craig Conover ended their relationship. I think it was a 3-year relationship back in December of 2024. Or maybe they ended it over Thanksgiving, but I think we all found out about it in January of this year, I believe. It came as a shock to me that they were ending their relationship. I had looked at them as like the epitome of a modern, successful relationship. And I looked at Craig Conover as like one of the most evolved men that I have seen. And although he is on TV, I get that, he still has been exhibiting different qualities, more mature qualities than most of men that we see out there today. So whenever they broke up, I was like, oh, fuck. And I think I told y'all this earlier that I knew at that moment when they broke up that I would not want kids because my mom was like, you should slide into his DMs. And I was like, you know, I totally would. We're both lawyers. We're both, you know, familiar with Southern culture. I mean, I'm sure he says he's from the South, but he's from Delaware. But... And he is an emotionally mature man, or from what I've seen. So I definitely, but I know that he wants to get married and have kids. And I don't. So when they broke up, I was like, you know, I really know in my soul that I don't want to have more kids because he would be the perfect guy to, you know, approach for that endeavor. And I was like, I'm good. And then once I saw how, you know, the breakup played out between Paige and Craig on their various shows, Craig on Southern Charm, Paige on Summer House, it became really apparent that Craig is not as evolved as I thought he was. And dare I say that I have the ick for Craig Conover now? I can't believe I'm saying this. I do, though. I have the ick, and I hate that, but it is real. Like, now, his voice annoys me. I noticed that the other day when I was watching, I don't guess it was Summer House, and they did a flashback to Craig talking to Paige. I think it was last year. And I was like, oh my God, his voice is so annoying. That's not really nice to say, and I understand that, but that was the thought that crossed my mind. I'm sure there's people who think that my voice is annoying. Who are we fucking kidding? So Craig was getting angry last year. We saw this on the show. He wasn't getting angry. He was upset that her career was taking off. He was upset that she was going on tour. He was feeling anxiety, feeling like obviously felt very insecure in the relationship because he felt the need to have the conversation with her, being like, I know you're going on your podcast tour. But I don't want you to, or I don't want our relationship to fall to the wayside. And it would be like, why would it? It's almost like, why are you so insecure about the relationship? And I think him projecting those insecurities onto Paige made her have, like, extreme anxiety and start to have panic attacks, which she was candid about on Summer House, that she was having panic attacks while on tour because she was so concerned about what she was doing and how it was going to affect Craig. You know, I went on the boat this past weekend for Memorial Day weekend, and one of the girls, unrelated to Craig Conover, but one of the girls was like, what parents have a baby be born and they see the baby and they're like, that baby's name is Craig? Like, it's such an odd name to give a child. But I digress, and I'll get into my boat day later. But Craig and Paige, it was a shock. And I was shocked to see that it was like Craig was not celebrating Paige's success. For instance, she claimed that she is the breadwinner in the relationship. She said that on Summer House this season. And when I heard that, I was like, really? Not that I doubt her abilities. I mean, Paige is a freaking, like, goddess. But the way that I felt like it was portrayed, it seemed like Craig was more successful with his pillow business. Come to find out, that wasn't the case, that Paige was actually the breadwinner. And she wanted Craig to acknowledge this. And he was like, or she said that he was like, why would I do that? Why would I, it would be bad for business if I said that you were more successful than me. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think that he didn't want to admit that because it would hurt his ego. Who knows? Whatever. It's clear that they wanted different things. And so Craig was saying to her that it was unfair that she was getting busier that she was getting busier in her career. But it's even more unfair that, because Craig is like, I don't know, how old is she? I think he's like 5 years apart. But Craig is older than her. And when he was her age, he was given the freedom to build his business without having anyone, you know, try and stop it or slow it down in any kind of way. So it's almost unfair that he's holding her to his timeline. They just didn't want the same things at the same time. And that's okay. It did make me realize that we as men and women are much farther apart than we realize. And I don't mean all men and women. I really mean the women and men who are on the dating market, who are available for dating. Like, if Craig and Paige couldn't make it, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. That was interesting. It's a little disheartening, but I am fine with it. Like, but at the same time, it is refreshing as fuck to see a woman not compromise, because I think we can all agree that historically and traditionally, it is women who have had to compromise in relationships. I'm sure there are other relationships out there where the men compromise more, but I'll go out on a limb and say women have compromised more than men. In a general sense. And I think there's the expectation for women to compromise more from the women and from the men. But that is changing. That is changing. I don't know. Someone asked me the other day if I was on the market, and I'm like, I'm not on the market. Like, I am open to a relationship. I am open. I don't even know if it's a relationship. I'm open to meeting someone. Let's start there. I'm open to meeting someone and maybe going on one date a month. That's really all I can handle at this time. I have more important things that I want to work on. it doesn't, I don't care about having a relationship at this time. It is never, I've never cared less about a relationship than I do right now. And I'm, it's, you know how fucking freeing that is? You know how liberating that is? Holy shit, it is so nice to have woken up from the fever dream that was you have to get married to be happy. So wrong. So wrong. The Summer House reunion, the first part of the Summer House reunion did lightly touch on the Jesse, Solomon, Lexi Wood toe-sucking incident. Jesse said when watching back the season, he definitely thinks that he crossed the line with flirting with Sierra, with getting his toe sucked. And I think this was a very big learning lesson from him. I also think Lexi needed to take some accountability for her part in it, because she was saying that she was blaming Jesse for her lack of friendships with the girls in the house. But she made that choice to get all hot and heavy with him right out the gate. I mean, she's young. She still has some shit to learn. I mean, shit, I am not. She's more than 10 years younger than me, and I still have a lot of shit to learn. I honestly think we all have a lot to learn. That is a big piece of advice for me, from me today to you all. Never stop learning. Never stop educating yourself. The moment you become unteachable is the moment that you become stagnant. You need to be open to learning things, to being educated, educating yourself. And I'm sure Lexi learned a lot. I'm sure Jesse Solomon learned a lot. I don't know what is up with Jesse Solomon's style. Who is dressing him? Why does he look like a mobster from the 80s? He looks like he just stepped out of Scarface. When him and West were on Watch What Happens Live, West was like in an all-black suit with like no shirt underneath, and he's had his hair styled in a very interesting way. He almost looked like he was going for like a male version of Black Swan in a way. I mean, there wasn't any makeup to accompany his look, but that was the energy I was getting. Like he was about to dance the final performance of, what's the fuck? Swan Lake. That's it, Swan Lake. And he is the principal part of the ballet, and he is about to, you know, give his final performance. I didn't like it. Listen, I do appreciate men experimenting with their style. I don't think there's enough men who do that. Like, maybe throw in a cute pocket square. Maybe a little scarf. Maybe some festive socks. A cuff length. You know, you have limited options in men's fashion. So try to kick it up a notch. And I realize that I'm asking men to kick it up a notch while simultaneously talking shit about Jesse Solomon's look, but I'm just giving him feedback. He is a very attractive man, objectively. I mean, I've caught the ick for him just based on what I saw this season, but he is objectively an attractive guy. Apparently, he does well with the ladies. I do think he could change up his style a little bit. Like, I see him more in like a preppy collared shirt type of situation. Like, you know how Paige was trying to dress Craig up like Jordan Belfort, the guy who they made the Wolf of Wall Street after. He was, I guess he wrote the book. I don't know the book name. I just know this guy's name. Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio played him in the movie, if that gives you any indication. That is what I see more for Jesse Solomon. I mean, he's in finance. He should be dressing like he's in finance. And he would look I think he would just look hotter if he leaned into the preppiness of it. Like, he could be in some... I just see a collared shirt for him. I don't see this. What did he? He specifically had on like a light green blazer with a black t-shirt underneath and a like kind of an obnoxiously gold chain. I don't know why it bothered me, but it bothered me. He can do better. Listen, A for effort, but he can do better. I know that there's more within him. They should keep bringing it. I don't want my comments to discourage them from bringing it. And you know what? This is not anything different than we treat women, right? We critique women's looks down to the fucking fingernails. Have you not seen the nail cams on the red carpet? Women have been opening themselves up for scrutiny since I've been alive. Since I've been fucking alive. So the fact that you have decided to change a t-shirt, wear a chain, and wear a blazer and some shoes that you should never wear again, and because I'm commenting on it, don't let that discourage you, Jesse Solomon and West. What's his last name? Wilson. Don't let my comments hurt your little feelings, because you need to have a stronger, thicker skin if you're going to survive in this business. Keep bringing it. Prove me wrong. Come on. I want to be proved wrong, honestly. Okay, so I want to make a little correction. I know it wasn't the last episode, but maybe it was the episode before that when I was talking about the new Pope. I think I called him Pope Leo IV. And I just am a little silly and sometimes can't read Roman numerals. And so I think that it is actually Pope Leo the 14th. I just wanted to correct that because, you know, respect and whatnot. I also realized when I was editing the podcast that I say the word like quite often. I need to figure out how to break free of that, because it reminds me of Wes Wilson particularly. He says, I mean, like, who else says it? There's someone else who says like, oh my God, Tom fucking Sandoval. Ugh. He says like all the time. I mean, like. So I'm going to try and change that because I didn't like it. So I think that I told y'all that I'm reading The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I am about a little more than halfway through the book. Wow, what a ride this book has taken me on. I have learned so many things in such a short time. And the things that I have been learning, anytime like I have like an aha moment, I'm like, oh my God, duh. Duh, 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 duh. So let me give you a little insight into what I'm talking about. So the book is called The Power of Now. From a general sense, the idea of The Power of Now is that we all should stay in the present moment. And if we can stay in the present moment and not allow our minds to take over thinking, and we can be present and there can be no thinking, that is when we can connect to God, the source, the universe, whatever you call it, and then the universe, God, et cetera, higher self, whatever you call it, then can work through you when you are actually present. It makes so much sense, because people really do have power, and I can see how people have the power of prayer. So if there are people who are praying and they're so present and they're giving their pure intention and they're sending it off into God, I can see how the power of their prayer is real. It's the same exact principle. And I love the book because he talks about Jesus. He talks about Jesus's teachings. He talks about the Buddha. He talks about all different ideologies. It's fascinating. It's so fascinating. And it's things that I have learned or that I have read or that I've come across, ideas that I've come across in the past year, but they haven't really stuck. I haven't really grasped the concepts until now. One thing that has been a profound realization is that I use my mind. Really, my mind is using me versus me using my mind. One principle, one of Eckhart Tolle's teachings is that we need to separate ourselves, who we are, our essence, from our mind. Our mind is not us. And when we can have that separation, and when we can become an observer of the mind and be like, why is the mind thinking that? Why is the mind presenting me with this right now? It's almost like you confront it and it goes away. And I realize that my mind has been using me, basically, worrying with anxiety so much. I used to think I was a freaking genius for having a great ability to multitask. When I was working as a lawyer, I was a multitasking motherfucker. You have to be. You have to be when you are a single mom and you're working full-time as a lawyer. You have to be able to figure out how to do things. You got to figure out how to get all of your shit done. And it ain't easy. So, what does that cause? A lot of thinking, a lot of worrying, a lot of, okay, I have this, I have this, I have this, I have this. You have the mental load. You have, I have to do this for my client. I also have to go have lunch with the partner. And then after that, I have to go bring my daughter her book that she left at home. Like that, these are all very normal days when you're working full time and you're a single mom. You are juggling so much. And there's something that I want to say, because I have kind of, like, for a long time I've been like, oh my God, single moms, you know, they're the best, they're so powerful, they're so this, they can handle so much. And that is true, but that is glorifying the overload that women, and it's not just single moms, it's women, are experiencing. We call women, they're superhuman, they are superheroes, they can do all of this. Yeah, they can, but they're dying inside. They're stressed out, they're anxious, they're depressed. They're not taking care of themselves. And it's almost like we're not recognizing that if you are in a two-person relationship, a two-partner relationship, like, maybe the other partner might be dropping the ball. I do think that from a traditional historical sense, men have been taught or conditioned or whatever that the only thing they needed to bring into a family is providing. And providing money, food, shelter. And that is very important, and I'm not taking that away, but it is definitely not enough. So I recently amended my thoughts about single moms and stuff, because you shouldn't have to do everything by yourself, you know? Like, and I'm not saying that it has to be like a romantic partnership, but you definitely need help. You need help raising children. That is a fact. I didn't do it completely by myself. I had my mom. I had my family. Like, people were there for me. And I'm very grateful for that, because I know not everyone has that. And I actually feel very privileged to have that in my life. So I don't know where I'm going with this. I don't know what the solution is. I don't even know what I was fucking talking about. Oh, I was talking about Eckhart Tolle. Relationships. Two parents. Help single women. whatever. Let me get back to the power of now. So I love the book. Oh, multitasking. I'm back. I'm a multitasking motherfucker. But not anymore. I'm trying not to do that now. I'm trying to just be focused on the task at hand. I realized, like in the past week when I started reading this book, that I spend so much mental energy thinking about other things while I'm doing something. And if I could just shut off my mind there and pay attention to what I'm doing, I could use all of that energy worrying and put it into what I'm doing. It just like, I was like, when I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh. And I think I told you last time about the attitude. Like, I'm learning that the universe gives you what you already have. It's like a mirror. It's attracting what you're attracting, what you already have. So you have to embody what you want. It's having a profound effect on me. I really, really like the format of the book, because the format of the book, it's broken up into chapters and there's definitely subheadings. So it's broken up real nicely. But the way that it is formatted is like in a question answer format. So I'm reading the book, but I'm also listening to the book. So I'm listening to it and I'm reading along in the book. Eckhart Tolle reads the answer portion, and then he has two people, a man and a woman, I think it's his publishers, alternating on who asks the questions. So it's basically a big ass book of FAQs. And as a girl who has anxiety, I love FAQs. FAQs stands for frequently asked questions. I love FAQs. And the reason I love FAQs is because it typically addresses all of the objections and questions that people have commonly had related to whatever it is. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. When I went to go see Eckhart Tolle, I don't even know if I talked about this. When I went to go see Eckhart Tolle here, it was in March. Went to go see him at this convention center here in downtown Miami. I think it was the James Knight Center. Yeah, that's right. So even though I do feel like I have gotten more of a grasp on the city of Miami, I still have anxiety. I still have fear. I just feel anxious when going places. In order to, especially new places I've never been before. So in order to combat that anxiety, I educate myself on all of the various things related to what I'm doing. Okay, so it was the Eckhart Tolle event. I educated myself. I knew from past experience of going to many events in New Orleans at convention centers, at the Smoothie King Center, at the Superdome, that there are purse and bag restrictions. So I went and looked at the FAQs for the James Knight Center in Miami. And I was looking and I was like, oh, they do have a bag restriction and it says it has to be a certain size. And I was like, okay, that's good, because I was going to carry a bigger purse. But instead, I switched to a cute little purse that my mom gave me for my birthday. Thanks, Mom. And I had two friends who were going with me to see Eckhart Tolle. And they came over to my house beforehand. And when they came over, I was like, oh, you know, I looked and it said that there is a bag restriction. So I changed my purse to a smaller bag. I don't know for sure, but that's what it says. That's what I'm going to do. And both of them were like, you know, that's probably an old policy. I don't think it's going to be like that. I don't think it's going to be an issue. And I was like, okay, that's fine. In the past, I would have argued with them. I would have been like, nah, this is what the rules say. This is what they say. This is, why would you think anything differently? But I don't care anymore. I used to care so much about being right, and now I don't care at all. I don't care at all about being right. So we take the Uber, we get to the event, and we see like a really long line. And it ain't the line to get in. It's a line for purse check-in. Because the policy that I had viewed prior to leaving my house about the bags being a certain size was in fact a current policy. And all of the people who were standing, mostly women, who were standing in line had huge bags and they had to check them in. And it was not a quick process. In the past, I would have gotten angry, but I didn't. I actually thought it was quite funny because I'm like, okay. And you know, another reason that I didn't argue with my friends was because I thought to myself, you know what? They've lived in Miami. They lived in Miami for a really, really long time. They probably know more than me. But the FAQs, they did not lie. FAQs typically don't. You got to rely on those FAQs. Love an FAQ. And I bet the next time they go to something, they're going to look up the FAQs. And I know that I talk a lot of shit about my anxiety, but that is an area that my anxiety, it serves me, you know? I come very prepared to things. I typically know, I guess I just don't go to things blindly. Maybe that's a good thing, maybe that's a bad thing, I don't know, but it is what it is. And I'm thankful for my anxiety to an extent because it makes me be very prepared. And I like being prepared. I like being prepared because it's within my control, right? These kinds of things are within my control. So I love the FAQs of the James Knight Center. I love the big book of FAQs, The Power of Now. I would recommend that everyone read this book. It is quite compelling. And it basically feels like he's touching on universal truths that pervade every single religion. Like, if we really look at it, every single religion is right, and every single religion is wrong. They all get something right, they all get something wrong. I like talking about the things that they all get right, and I just feel like that is kind of what the focus is of the book. Universal truths. I went to lunch with my friend yesterday, and she was telling me the book that had the most profound effect on her was his second book, A New Earth. I will read that after this book. Oh, you guys, I just love learning. I just love educating myself. I love feeling like I'm getting somewhere. This situation with the manifestation course, this book, this all just fell into my lap. And I was talking to my friend yesterday saying that I feel like Eckhart Tolle has trying to get into my life since 2022. And I just have never, you know, taken it. I've never grabbed it. And she was like, yeah, that's fair. She was like, but would you have even been in a position to receive it in 2022? I'm like, no, honestly, no. So it makes sense. Now I am in a position to receive this information. Oh God, and I'm so grateful for it. I just feel like I'm getting somewhere. I feel like I'm getting traction in my path. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It feels good. It feels fucking good, if I must say so myself. So I did go to lunch with my friend. Well, let me talk about my boat day real quick. So I did go on a boat for Memorial Day, my first boat here in Miami. And in fact, it was a yacht. I went yachting. It was a beautiful day. It was a group of women and I only knew a few girls there. And my friend Michi basically collected or invited all of these women. She had a group of women who said they could go. And then many people dropped out. She had to ask more people so we could meet the minimum requirement of people going on the boat. So that translated into most people did not know each other. The one thing that everyone, except me, had in common is that everyone on the boat, I'm fairly certain, yes, is Latina and speaks Spanish. Español. Hablas español. Habla español. The only person who did not speak español, no hablo español, was me. It doesn't bother me, but it's noticeable, very noticeable to me. So I started the day out, my Uber driver. I got an Uber down there because it was Memorial Day weekend. I did not think it would be a good idea to park down by the marina because it was Memorial Day. Everyone's going out on the boat. Lots of people are going to be parked at the marina. So I was like, I'm just going to get an Uber, take that off my plate. And I'm glad I did that. But my Uber driver did not speak English. Also, don't give a shit. I do find that I usually just say "si" to everything. So I have no idea really what I'm saying "si" to, but I just say "si." He was nice though. I mean, quite honestly, I have been able to figure out what people are saying from their tone and context and situational and circumstances. It actually is not, it's possible to communicate when you don't know the same language, but not this day, honestly. So when we get to the marina, I don't know where I'm going. I can't ask him where I'm going. He's kind of just parked on the side of the street and he starts talking in Spanish and I'm like, "Uf, no entiendo, hablo un poco español," which means I speak a little Spanish. But he did not speak any English. So we just kept going back and forth, and he's like getting a little bit more spirited in his tone. And I'm like, "No entiendo." No entiendo. Which means I don't understand. I was like, I just got out. I just started walking. And I'm like, I thank you so much. Everything's okay. I appreciate you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. So I go to the boat. Boat's gorgeous. I mean, it's a little anxious and uncomfortable not knowing anyone. But I'm fine. I can thrive in those situations. I don't mind talking to people. I can make it work. So the ladies start piling in and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. Everyone's having a good time. Everyone's getting along. And then the captain and his wife, who both speak Spanish, and he can hear everyone else, and a lot of people are speaking Spanish. Not me. And so he goes and he's like, he's going to give us like the instructions for the boat. And he was like, okay, does everyone speak Spanish? Normally, I would have lied. I would have just gone along with it and said, I speak Spanish. Or just not said anything at all because I didn't want to reveal that I was the only non-Spanish speaking person there. However, as I just explained, I have anxiety. I love FAQs. I love rules. He's about to explain the safety rules. And if he explains them in Espanol, I will no entiendo. I will not understand. I do not understand. So I had to raise my hand and I'm like, I don't speak Spanish. So he had to give the instructions in English because of me. And so I'm like, oi, 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 okay, okay, okay. One of these things is not like the other. And I'm like, fuck. So, you know, it wasn't a big deal, whatever. Later on in the day, I was talking to this one girl and she was like, oh, Lindsay, so what Latin American countries are your parents from? And I was like, Mississippi. And she was like, wait, you're white? I was like, I'm afraid so. That happens to me a lot. And she was like, no, it's a compliment. And I feel complimented. I'm like, thank you. She's like, you have soul. I was like, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. But there was just a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of uneasiness, a little bit more of like, do people feel like I don't belong here? And I don't think anyone thought that. I think it was my own insecurities and I was projecting them onto the situation. Because everyone was lovely. We had the best time. We were dancing. We were just vibing. I went swimming in the water, which is a big deal for me. It was fun. I want to do it again. I need another yacht day because I deserve the yacht life. Another very big thing happened this past weekend. Me and Madison cleaned her room. Now, that sounds not like a big deal when I just say it like that, but you have to know the background. Madison has traditionally been, I say this with no judgment behind it, a little bit messy. I don't think it's that she's messy. I think it's that she has anxiety. And I think she feels emotional attachment to a lot of things. And she has a very hard time throwing those things away. And so she doesn't know what to do with them. And she just puts them in her room. And it begins to pile up. So it has been like that since we moved in. Her room at the other house was like that. Her room in high school was like that. Her room in middle school was like that. I'm sure when she was younger, I was harsher in the way I spoke to her about her room. So I think that, so now in present day, since we moved here, I've been offering to help her clean her room, but she has declined any offers of help. I understand. And I did not push it. I was not, you have to do this. I basically was just like, okay, it's your room. You can keep it how you want. So this past, I know that in a month or two, she's about to take her trip. And I was like, okay, I knew it would be good for her to have a clean room, especially for like packing. And just, I feel like if your space is clear, your mind is clear. It feels good to have a clean house. It feels really fucking good to have a clean room. Like, it's almost better than Xanax, frankly. Like, when I see my kitchen is cleaned in the morning and I can still smell the faint scent of the Mr. Clean cleaner from the night before, I'm like, I'm excited. I'm happy. My day is going to go well. So I just wanted that for her. Well, I offered on, I don't remember what day it was, but I was like, hey, would you want some help cleaning your room? Oh, she was looking for something. She couldn't find something. And I was like, I was so sure that we would be able to find it. And I was like, do you want some help cleaning your room? And she was like, oh, and I was like, and I said this in a very calm, nice tone. I'm like, let me explain my process. We would first make the bed and clean off the bed. The bed is our first canvas. And we would start going through each area of the room and we would make piles. Piles of things you definitely don't want, piles of things you for sure want, and piles of what you don't know. And then after we go through your whole room, then we work from the bed. Then we take the things from the bed and we put them up. I could sense that there was still some hesitation, but she was like, okay. I was very gentle in my approach and we were able to go through that entire fucking room. We put hands on everything. We cleaned the fuck out of that room. That room is so spotless now. It is in such a good position. Madison feels so good about herself. She feels so good about her room. And she said to me the other day after we were done, she was like, thank you so, so, so much. Thank you so much for helping me. I feel like you're always helping me. And I was like, oh, I was like, babe, I will always be here to help you. That is what I am here for. I am here to help you. I'm so glad. That is a huge deal. I don't even know if it's translating via the podcast, via this microphone how big of a deal that was, but it was a huge fucking deal. And now she has a clean room and now she feels good. And I'm like, how good does it feel walking into your room? She's like, it feels so good. I'm like, yes, girl. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So yesterday I had a great fucking day. I planned to have lunch with my friend Ellie. I met her in my sewing class last year. We were both in the same sewing class, and we have stayed in touch and stayed friends since then. We went to, and she takes me to all of these cool places. She's just like, let's go here. Let's go to Wynwood. Let's go to the Design District. And then yesterday, she's like, let's go to Bell Harbor. And I'm like, okay. So I have heard of Bell Harbor, but I didn't really know what it was. So I Googled it. And apparently, it is a bougie-ass place of Miami Beach. And the place that we went to this excellent restaurant in what I learned, what she told me was like the first luxury mall in Miami, like the original luxury mall. And it was fucking gorgeous. It was like an outdoor mall. I mean, it had Gucci, Prada, Dolce & Gabbana, Ferragamo, Saks. What else? I mean, it was high end. Let's say that. It was high end. The restaurant that we went to was a Japanese restaurant, delicious food. It was such an amazing experience. I have such a good time with her. We align on many, many, many things. And I just love her. It's so nice to be in her presence. I'm so grateful for her as a friend. I'm so grateful for all of my friends. I know that previously on the podcast, maybe in season one, I was like, it's so hard to make friends. This is like, you know, I feel like really lonely. I don't feel like that anymore. I have lots of friends. I have a lot of good friends and I'm happy about it. Like, damn it, it's working out. It's working out really fucking well. And yesterday was just evidence of that. So we went and had a fantastic lunch. And Ellie was like, do you want to walk around the mall a little bit before we leave? And I was like, sure, that sounds great. Well, we get up from our table. I turn around because we're going to go to the bathroom. And I instantly see something I have been wanting to see since I moved to Miami. A Real Housewife in the Wild. I could not believe my eyes that right there in front of me was Alexia from The Real Housewives of Miami. We briefly made eye contact, but I didn't want to stare, even though I wanted to, but I didn't want to stare. So I broke the eye contact. I started going to the bathroom. As I'm walking, Ellie's like, I think that is. And I'm like, I know, I know, I know. I'm like, what are the odds? You know what? It's not the odds. It's the universe. It's alignment. The universe knew that that would be very exciting for me. I don't know if The Real Housewives of Miami is currently filming. They may have just wrapped filming, but they weren't filming here. She was at lunch with an older woman. Ellie's like, do you want to walk around? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Let's walk around. And she was like, oh, you know, I actually have some jewelry. I have an earring that I need changed out of one of her ears. I guess it's one that has like a post, so you have to get someone, like a professional, to change it. And I was like, sure, of course. So then I walk in with her to the store, and it says luxury piercing and jewelry. And I was like, is this a piercing place? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, should I get a piercing? And I was like, I think I should get a piercing. And your girl got a third hole on her earlobes pierced. So fun, so spontaneous. Like, that is, it was just so fun. I felt like a teenager. I'm like, oh my God, let's get my ears pierced. It was such a fun time. And Ellie literally just texted me and she like, I cannot stop thinking about you getting your ears pierced. That was so funny. Oh, that was such a fun day. I still don't want to talk about politics. It's still too much. And I feel like I like pop in and I pop out. And I think I saw yesterday before I went to sleep, I don't know if I dreamed this or if this was real, that Elon Musk is stepping away from his role in the government to, because he's now criticized the big beautiful bill. Is this true? That didn't take long, okay? Like, Jesus, oh my gosh. It's starting to feel like the first Trump administration where everybody was fired. Like, you're fired. You're fired. You're fired. Did anyone from the first administration make it to the second administration? I don't know. Someone look that up for me and let me know. But whatever, I don't want to talk about politics. I just don't want to. Look at all the good things that are happening in my life. Look at the happiness. I'm still advocating for people. I'm still an activist. But for now, for this episode and for last episode, and I don't even know how many fucking episodes. If I don't want to talk about politics, I ain't going to talk about politics. But at the same time, if I want to talk about politics, I'm going to talk about politics. So this podcast is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Thank you for joining me for episode 9, Feeling Fine, in episode 9. I don't know what that was. Thank you for joining me on episode 9 of the Rich Room podcast. If you're feeling frisky, if you're feeling complimentary, leave us 5 stars, leave a wonderful comment, leave me a wonderful review. I would greatly appreciate it. Follow me on Instagram at the Rich Room Podcast, and you can also follow my personal account at Love with Lindsay. Have a fantastic weekend. I love you all. I will be talking to you next week. See you later.